I'm so glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and I want you to know if you go to Luther Ridge Camp with us, there's this activity they do. I'm a live, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I think we need to do that this morning. We're so glad you remembered to change your clocks and you're here, and or you just came an hour early for something and you got here on time. But anyway, we're glad you are here today, and glad to welcome visitors and guests whom we have with us. We're glad you're here as well, and hope you'll join us again. Don't forget our Lenten services this week. Service is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. The meal is at 6 o'clock. Our topic this week is Money is the Root of All Evil. Ooh. We are a week away from Family Promise, from hosting Family Promise, and Shannon said that she was going to be out of town this weekend, but she sent me an email for you to remind you of opportunities to volunteer are still available. Take a look at the board in the narthex to see where you can help. Laundry is ready for pickup next to the volunteer board. Please return it by next Sunday. Joe will meet with volunteers directly after worship in the sanctuary to provide information on the families we'll be hosting. And for all questions, see Joe and Pat. So I have read her email as well. Jonathan, you're up wherever you went. Well, there you are.
Good morning. So tonight, the youth who are going on the mission trip will have a short meeting tonight here at the church, kind of to see some of the activities that we're doing. There are some great videos of that kind of explain some of the program and what we'll be doing that we'll watch. Next week is Spring Into Action. Spring Into Action is the LCY spring service event, and we'll be doing some work at Williamsburg for that, so that'll be really fun. They set up a home for all these things and not that way. And then the week after that, we'll be going to a hockey game, and also that week, the 26th, we'll start having some baskets out there. You can buy tickets for a drawing that we have on Easter Sunday, and that will be to support the mission trip to St. Louis.
What? No second attempt at a pun? Oh. I shouldn't have asked. That's all I think we need to talk about at this time, so let's prepare for our worship. Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of heaven and earth, You come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot break free. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet. We were silent when we should have said something. We acted when we knew better. We were still when we knew we should have moved. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to heal us and set us free. In God's mercy, you are forgiven. In God's love, you have life. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. Well, good morning. Just have a seat, Artie. Great. Watch your head. Yeah, there you go. So here's my question. Are there words your parents have told you you shouldn't say? Probably so. There are probably some words you shouldn't say. And interestingly enough, we have a word here at church that for some time, we say it all the time, but sometimes we can't say it. This is called Lent. We're in a church season of the year called Lent. You can tell anytime I'm wearing purple, that means it's Lent, and it's a time when we think about Jesus' death and resurrection. So there is a special word that we say all the time that during the, whenever I'm wearing purple, we're not supposed to say. You know what that word is? You do? What is it? That's pretty good. You got the right syllable to start with. Anybody can read that word? No, yeah, it's a big word. It says, Alleluia. But, right, this is the only time I'm going to say it. Because they have to know what the word is. Okay? Now, after this, I'm never going to say this word till Easter. And, in fact, some churches do something. They call it burying this word I'm not supposed to say anymore till Easter. Okay? And so they hide it away and they bury it. And so I've made this sign, and what we're going to do is take this word, I'm going to fold it over, and I'm going to put it in this box, and then I'm going to hide it, okay? And we're going to get it out on Easter, so you don't know, guess where I'm going to hide it. I'm going to hide it where you'll never, ever, ever, ever see it, okay? I'm going to show you right now, I'm going to go hide it. You'll never see it there. Will you? You'll see that, won't you? Actually, that's on purpose. Because you know what? Even though we're in that season where I can't say that word. Remember that word? Yeah, I can't say that word. We every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. And so even though we're in a time we can't say that word, do we still remember that word? Yeah. And every Sunday, even though we can't say that word, are we looking forward to Easter when we're going to say that word a lot? Yes. So I've put it right there, and I'm going to leave it right there all the way until Easter. Okay? Because remember, we're not supposed to say that word, right? But every time you see the box, you can remember that word and remember that we're looking forward to Easter. Even though we're in this season where we're thinking about Jesus dying and we're wearing purple and all that, we're still never, ever, ever forget that we're looking forward to Easter. And most Sundays when I'm up here, I'm going to ask you, where did we put that word we're not supposed to say? And y'all are supposed to point right up there, okay? Because it'll be right there. And it is important before I finish this to say, if you happen to be in here working up around the altar, don't take my box away. All right. So anyway. All right, well, that's what I want you to remember. Easter's coming. You're not going to hear a whole lot about it, and you're not going to hear us say that word, but we're still looking forward to Easter, starting now. All right, let's have our prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Help us to remember all that you have done for us and how you make us yours. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hi, Jordan.
A reading from Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor, and he went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh.
A reading from Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one who believes with the heart and so is justified, and one who confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
And merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love,
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I guess I smelled it first. At first, a whiff of smoke, and then as I searched around on my desk, something stronger, sulfur and brimstone, maybe. Then suddenly, peeking out from under some other papers, I saw the corner of an envelope, and something about it gathered my attention. I started to pull it out, but the instant I touched it, my fingers felt on fire, like they were singed. And after just a second, that passed, and I pulled the envelope out and looked at it. I didn't remember seeing it before. The paper was very fine, and there was no address on the envelope. I opened it and pulled out the letter inside and began to tremble. Somehow, I had intercepted a letter from the devil. "My dearest Smeltwig," it said, "how distressed I was to hear of the complete failure of the strategy we had discussed earlier on how to handle your client there at Redeemer Lutheran Church. I always encourage my clients to go to church because causing them to stop completely more often than not creates a void in their lives which cannot go unnoticed and which usually results in too much thinking about the enemy for our good. Most of the time, going mindlessly to Sunday service gives them the notion that they have done their religion thing for the week and they don't have to think about it for another 7 days. And those 7 days are full of delicious opportunity for us, while the enemy is all but forgotten. I am sorry that my advice to you proved unsuccessful. Most of the time, this is an excellent strategy, but on occasion, some will find great meaning in the worship and actually move closer to the enemy. As you well know, that complicates our job tremendously. But remember, the failure is not your fault. The enemy has a great attractiveness, and when he is lifted up, he draws people to himself, and there is little that we can do. The only words of encouragement I can give you is to remind you that even I failed, and failed when it counted the most. Of course, you will remember the glorious story we told you in Demon School, but perhaps now you need to know more of the real truth concerning the battle. It was our best chance to confront the enemy head on, and I dared not give the responsibility to any of my regular demon caseworkers. The enemy had become human, weak, mortal, and I knew that this was our one opportunity that I needed to keep for myself. I waited patiently. I knew my time would come, and sure enough, it did. He had gone to the Jordan River to be baptized by our enemy's servant John, and the heavens had opened up, and the great enemy had declared in a loud voice that he was his son. Right away, my horns began to itch, as they usually do when I sense a great opportunity, and a plan began to formulate in my mind. Finally, the advantage was mine. The echoes of the great enemy's voice had hardly faded when he went out into the wilderness to fast and pray alone. Alone, and my tail began to quiver. There would be no one to talk things over with, no one to point the way, no one to advise him, no one, that is, except me. For 40 days he fasted, and then it was my time. He was hungry, and he sat there weak and tired and staring at the ground, and I just sidled up beside him with a rock in my hand, and I said, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." How his stomach must have growled at my words. I had even chosen a stone that looked like a loaf of bread. It would have been so easy for him, just a wave of his hand to satisfy his hunger. I thought he was wavering, and so I pushed even harder, planting thought after thought like falling dominoes in his head. Why stop at this stone? Why not all the stones? Why not change them all to bread? Why not repeat the miracle of the manna? Why not feed the people, provide for the poor, and show them that your powers are for their good and that you love them and will provide for them? Wouldn't that be a great way to use your power? Wouldn't that be a great sign of your messiahship? And wouldn't the people worship you and honor you in your glory? And isn't that what you came for? I thought surely I had him. The aims were good. They were consistent with what he wanted, but disguised within them was a misuse of his power and the temptation to abandon his mission and to achieve immediate results in the easiest way. Then suddenly, somehow, I lost him. Somehow, he kept his mind on his ultimate goal and not the plan I had substituted. He was committed to obedience, even at his own expense. And so he quoted me some scripture that pointed out that his connection to the great enemy was more important than his comfort. "One does not live by bread alone," he said. I was wounded, and we both knew it. But I wasn't through yet, and I had bigger bait ready for my hooks. I took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. I said to him, "This has all been given to me, all this power and glory and authority, and I will give it to you if you will worship me." Again, my plan was brilliant. He had come to rule the world, and I was offering him the chance to do it from the top down instead of the bottom up. I suggested the good he could do, the oppressed people he could set free, systems of justice he could set up that were fair, economic renewal for all people. The possibilities were endless. And even more, he would be accorded the power and glory he came to claim from the very beginning.
And from the very beginning, he could use that power to make the world a better place. All he had to do was to offer me some well-deserved praise, and it would all be his. I could sense that it should work. I knew that I should have him. When suddenly he answered with that hated scripture again. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Somehow he had seen through my disguise, and I realized that he thought of his mission as an act of worship and service to the great enemy, and he was not going to cloud it with any obligation to me. I was hit badly and wounded again, and again we both knew it, but gathering myself, I made one last heroic attempt. I took him to Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple, and this time, although the words were bitter in my mouth, I used scripture against him. I said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. We stood there, high above the city, the wind tugging at us. We both knew the legends that the Messiah would present himself at the temple. Wouldn't the people be impressed to see you floating down to the door, I suggested. Wouldn't they come quickly to believe in you as you fulfill the scripture before them? And then I played my trump card. Slowly, I planted a little doubt. Or don't you believe God's promises concerning you? Prove you are who you are, to me, to you, to everybody. Alas, my dear Smeltwig, that was my undoing. He turned to me, and there was fire in his eyes. Even before he spoke, I knew it was over. And again he answered me with scripture. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He would not test the great enemy's promises. It was enough for him to believe and to trust. I was beaten and I had no choice but to retreat. Yet still I watched and waited for another opportunity. Of course, you know I found it in Judas. And I thought we would be rid of the enemy forever. Well, that story you do know. And you know how hard things have been for us since. So remember, my young demon, defeats will happen, and at times you will have to withdraw. But watch and wait. Our clients cling more to themselves than they do to their faith. Disguise your evil in innocence and goodness. And soon an opportunity will come your way. In the meantime, keep your client busy. Remember that the busier he is, the less chance there is that he will actually do anything. He can't go about doing good if we keep him satisfied just going about. Finally, my friend, remember the principles you learned in school. Be subtle. Be patient. Be ready. Be quick. And maybe we can yet claim the victory. Most sincerely and affectionately, Lucifer.
heaven's praise.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty Lord, bless us on these first few steps of our Lenten journey. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us in these days, O Lord. Give us a new vision of your grace for us. Open our ears to your call and our hearts to your love. Lord, in your mercy, God of mercy and grace, create in us clean hearts. So often our hands reach out for that forbidden fruit. So often we allow our own desires to rule our lives. So often we care more for ourselves than for you. We repent today, O God. Forgive us. Care for us in spite of our wrong. Lead us each and every day to follow you. Lord, in your mercy. Living God, living is not always so easy. Be with and bless all those in need, all those who hunger, all those alone, all those who have voids in their lives that need filling. Where there is hurt, give your comfort. Where there is joy, increase that joy. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly King, you are the God of our past, our present, and our future. You have been faithful to us in our past, and you are with us now. Give us trust and hope for the bright future we have with you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
Generous God, give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You fed your people Israel through the desert and joined us in our desert, pouring out your life for the world. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.